So 1 Samuel, let's look down here for just a moment. And we may, if I can stick to this, we may do a short series Sunday nights on Samuel, Saul, and David. Just these first leaders in the nation of Israel. So many lessons to learn and so many good things. So I'm going to just jump around and highlight till we get to the text. So if you have a Bible, you have it on your phone, laptop, or maybe you have the original copies in your hand, the scrolls, you may want to unwind it. I think it's at the 10th foot and about 3 inches. That's how far. And so notice 1 Samuel and looking down into verse number 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Now, there was a certain man. And if Brother Buchanan was preaching, he'd say he was from a hard place of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. Verse 2, and he had two wives. Now, again, sometimes you'll see this in the Old Testament. You say, Pastor, did they practice polygamy in the Old Testament? Yes, they did. Was that acceptable to God? No, it was not. You say, how do you know? Because we have a principle, a pattern. When God made Adam, there were not like five women in the garden. It was just one. So God's plan, God's perfect plan, and it is always one man, one woman, if they marry, for a lifetime. Now, does that always work for people? No. And so anytime we change God's plan, it complicates things. So in California, when I moved here, almost everybody in the church was on their second marriage, third marriage. I think the record is five. And so much of that is they weren't raised in a Christian family. They were not taught. Napa for years had the highest divorce rate of any county in California. You say, how come? Well, I think one, lack of practical teaching and preaching. They had church where they came, stood, knelt, went home. That doesn't help your marriage unless you're joining aerobics classes together or something. And then second, there's the curse of alcohol on our county. 680 wineries. It's a god. I mean, the little bumper stickers, drink a glass of wine. It'll help your heart. Everything's about wine. The carts, the vineyard, the bottles, the trucks. Napa wines are on all the menus around the world. You travel, look at any menu, there's several Napa wines. It is the god. This is why people come here. But we would sure love for Napa to be known for a church instead of for the liquor that's here. And so here's this man, he took on two wives. God allowed it, he wasn't for it. And kind of what the rule was, if you wanted more wives, you could add them, but you couldn't slow down your affection and time to the first one, and you had to make sure that you were affectionate to the second one and paid for their meals and paid for their clothes. And so you couldn't take away from the first one if you added another one. And the mother-in-law came along too. So have at it. I've met some men. Man, I wish it was in the Bible days where you could have more than one wife. Most men cannot handle the one they have, much less all the relatives that come with it, and the mother-in-law, and then add another one. And then the two, now think, ladies, just for a moment, seriously. There's two women in the house. He married me first. Yeah, and then he met me. That's why he married me second, because he didn't meet me first. Oh, yeah? Can you imagine the conversations in the house? You forgot our anniversary. I forgot your name. I have so many wives. I don't even know your name. And then all the kids. You know, David had like, I think it was about 14 sons. After a while, some of these people who had David ended up with 8, Solomon 1,000. It was a mess. I'm just saying, you start changing God's plan and it complicates your life. His, mine, ours. Now, God's grace will give strength to get through those things. And we've got people through the years, first wife, second wife, third wife, his kids, my kids, their kids. And God can work to blend families, but it takes a lot of grace. And it takes two spiritual people sold out to God in a marriage filled with his spirit, or they don't have a chance. So that's just a thought. It said, verse 2, he had two wives. Verse 3, this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice. So they were a dedicated family. Verse 4, when time was Elkanah offered, he gave Peninnah his wife and her sons, daughters, portions. To Hannah, he gave a worthy or a double portion. He loved Hannah. And so he was giving. He gave to the wives. He did supply their financial needs. And then we see that Hannah could not have children. She was barren. And so they go to the temple there in Shiloh, or the tabernacle. And notice in verse 11, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou would indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. So she comes to the tabernacle and she kneels and she goes, oh Lord, I sure wish I had a child. And get this, it wasn't about her so I could have one. She said, I wish you'd give me a child so I can raise him to lead our country. Boy, what a woman. And so the husband and her, and the other wife, they're going to church. They're attending church. The woman is a woman of prayer. She knows how to get a hold to the Lord. Verse 15, the last phrase, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Then the priest, verse 17, God grant you your petition. The end of verse 19, the Lord remembered her. And I just want to say this. Some of you have been praying prayers for a long time, praying a certain prayer, something you want, something God needs to help you with. God has remembered your prayers. God hadn't forgotten you. He's not forgotten your situation. Sometimes you think he's blessing everybody but me. He's blessing every family but us. God's not forgotten you. And then it says that they end up bringing Samuel is the child's name. Verse 20, the last phrase, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. So the word Samuel, the definition actually means asked of God. So he was an answer to prayer. She couldn't have kids. She asked God. God says, here's the child. She didn't forget the answer to prayer. She named him asked of God. And then look over here. So they bring him to the tabernacle. This isn't the thing to do. Don't just drop him off. And they thought, you know, the priest could raise him and this and that. But verse 28, therefore, I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. Or we parents not stewards? These kids don't belong to us anyway. Some of you look at your kids when they're bad and say, are you really ours? Anyway, but it said, Lord, he's not mine anyway. You've given him to me to rear, so I'm giving him back to you. And sometimes when they become teenagers, you want to give him back. All right, I've had him long enough. Take him back. And it says, and he worshiped the Lord there. So Samuel, his mother worshiped God. His mother prayed. Now we see Samuel praying. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, and you see the subtitle of chapter 2, Hannah's song. So the whole chapter, this woman's spiritual. She's praising God. God has answered her prayer. And it's just a great chapter. Verse number 11. You say, when are you going to get to the message? We're getting there. Chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house. That's the husband. And the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. So the boy Samuel found something to do at church. He ministered. He became a servant. He was doing the lowly jobs. We know that he did open the doors. I don't know what else he did. Did he clean the tabernacle? Did he sweep up around? Did he maybe get lunch for the priests and the Levites? I don't know. But he ministered. And then look in verse 12. Now the priest Eli, his two sons, it says sons of Eli were sons of Belial, for they knew not the Lord. And so here's this priest doing all the churchly, is that a word, churchly? Churchly things, and his kids grew up in the house of God, but they didn't even know God. I would use the word hellions. They were hellions. They were probably the kids that during church were taking their knives and carving their initials on the pews and finding the Lord's Supper juice and just hellions. And so they were around it all the time, but they were not saved. And then verse 18, look at this. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. You see the contrast? The priest's sons were wreaking havoc and wickedness. Guess what Samuel did? Just serve the Lord. When others do not serve the Lord, you still have a choice to serve the Lord. Well, they're not. Somebody in the youth group is a hypocrite. Somebody's not serving the Lord. Well, you can still serve the Lord. And Samuel just did. Notice here it says in verse 21, last phrase, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. He's growing in grace. And then we see, looking in verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And then if you'll look a little further down into chapter 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Boy, this kid's serving and he's listening to the. And then verse 3, he hears the Lord. And it says in verse 4, then the Lord called, Samuel. And he answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down. Again, he went and lay down. He does it three times. And he says, just tell God, here am I. And he hears it again, Samuel, here am I. And finally, he said, go back and lay down, Samuel. It's God talking to you. And just say, here am I. Speak, thy servant heareth. Verse 9. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, so God did speak to him. Verse 19. What happened? And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So you kind of get it here. So here's this young man growing up in church, and God begins speaking to him. Why wouldn't he turn out? Look at who his parents were. Wow, his dad says, man, we're required to be in Jerusalem every year. We're bringing the whole family. He made sure every year they went to the temple. The mother's a praying woman. She's praying for a child. She makes him a coat as he grows and enlarges that jacket. They want him around the church of God. They want him around God's people. No wonder he turned out. Great parents here. A lot of lessons for all of us. You say, well, what happened? He listened to God, and later on, others listened to him. Amen. And that's just kind of how it works. If we'll listen to the Lord, sooner or later, there's going to be people that want to listen to us. Amen. Jesus told the parable of the sower who sowed the seed, and he said, they all heard it, but only one listened, and he received it deep in his heart. In the book of Revelation, it says, what's it say? It says, that's a good verse. But in Revelation, to all the churches, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So God is simply saying to the Christians, are you listening? You remember that old Christmas song? Are you listening? Are you listening? Brother John, brother, is that a Catholic song or something? Is that a rock song? Is that the Who or the Rolling Stones? Or you remember the other night we said, who's your favorite rock group? People are still talking about that. I didn't know you liked Queen. Oh, I didn't know you liked this. So it really knitted our hearts of worldly people. That's what it did. Christians are divided into two groups. Those that listen. And those that didn't listen. How many times through the years have you ever had someone come to you and said, I wish I'd have listened? Amen. We're not trying to bring up regrets. It cannot be changed. You can't go in a time machine. But it's so important to listen to God. Solomon put it this way. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. He says, I was almost in all evil in the house of God. Solomon said, my dad was David. He killed the giant. He wrote the Psalms. He's the man after God's own heart. I saw him rejoice when the ark was brought back to town. I was there. I saw all that. And Solomon said, I grew up around all of that stuff, and I was still almost in all kinds of evil. He didn't listen. Amen. Heard the story. I tried to Google it and find that it was several similar stories today. I cannot remember. Brother Buchanan had the magazine article and shared it years ago. Old story, a boy was riding on a plane for the first time. If you've ridden on planes much, it gets boring after a while. The first few times, you're paying attention, the little oxygen mask comes down, and then it's, to me, it's kind of comical. It's, and if we lose pressure, and we make a water landing. In other words, they're saying, if we crash into the ocean, But it sounds so nice. If we make a water, there is no water landing. You're not going to land in that water at 500 miles an hour. The doors will pop open. Are you willing to open the door? This slide will come out. You will slide out. What? Right into Jaws' mouth. He's just waiting at the bottom of the slide. And they make it so simple. The first time you're paying attention, and what do we do? And read the directions in your seat cushion in front of you. Use your seat cushion as a flotation device. You're not going to do that. Sometimes I look to people next to me and I'll say, "You believe that? What do you mean? If we hit the water at 500 miles an hour, is that seat really going to float?" I get it. I said, "Have you ever met a plane crash survivor?" "Come think of it, no, I haven't." I said, "There are none." And then I'll usually say, "If you died today..." No, they'll listen. The plane took off. Some type of wind shear hit the plane. The plane crashed. Pilot's killed. Stewardess is killed. Everyone on the plane killed. The boy was the only survivor. They interviewed him and they said, "Why do you think you lived? Everyone died but you. Why do you think that happened?" Here's what he said. "While others were reading and looking out the window and talking, I listened. I listened." Here's Samuel, the theme of his life. He listened. Amen. I heard those stories. I've shared it. It's probably too much. Maybe it's someone kind of new. Brother Rule years ago, Tim Rule said that he graduated from high school, went off to college, 4 years of college, went to medical school. He was going to be a surgeon, went several years to medical school. And then God said, "I want you to preach." Brother Rule had been saved since age 15. He said he got alone. This is what he said. He looked up and he said, "Lord, look, 4 years college, medical school. I'm into pre-med and all this stuff. Why didn't you tell me?" He said, God looked down and said, "I did tell you, but you weren't listening." Amen. Are you listening? Maybe that's why sometimes the Lord repeats people's names in Scripture. Moses. What? Moses, twice. Samuel. Simon. Pots and pans are being busted together. Martha. You parents ever call your kids' names twice? Yeah, you do. How come? You got to get their attention. How many of you have ever called your kids' full name? Jared Gillum the Fourth. I don't know what your middle name is, Jerry, so I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. A family named McCurdy years ago lived in Hammond, Indiana, went to a huge church. Their little daughter, they couldn't find her one day. She was playing in the house. They didn't see her, ran out to the backyard. They had a swimming pool. She had fallen in. Murky water. They didn't find her body for minutes. Pulled her out, rushed her to the hospital. She lived. But that was about 5 minutes she didn't have oxygen. Majorly damaged her brain. She was a vegetable the rest of her life. Just laid in bed. Never talked again. It was very pathetic. Someone asked the McCurdy couple. They said, "I bet you needed a lot of counseling for that. I bet you was in the pastor's office all the time getting counseling and encouragement." He said, "No, we never made one appointment. We've been listening to the preaching for 25 years. Amen. We knew what to do." Listening to the Lord. Who are we supposed to listen to? Listen to God. Amen. If you're a young person, listen to your parents. Amen. If you're married, listen to your mate. "Well, we're not speaking." Well, it'd be good. Kids, listen to your parents. Parents, listen to your kids. Christian, listen to the lost people. Friends, listen to what real friends have to say. At the end of our life, it's going to be this. We ended up here probably because of who we listened to. I listened to the wrong people. Or I listened to the right people. It's kind of interesting. Why we don't listen. I want to give you this for a moment. Why would an adult or a teen, why would we not listen? Why would a Christian maybe not listen to another Christian? Several reasons. Maybe it's you. We don't like what's being said. Heard about this guy. He was at church. And he asked someone, he said, hey, can you loan me $5? He said, what? He said, can you loan me $10? He said, say that again in this $5 ear. Sometimes we don't like what's being said. Paul said this, Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. I've been to doctors and they've told me things and I didn't like it. I don't like weighing in, by the way. These doctors off. Who made that? I mean, where's that in the Bible? You know, you have an earache. All right, step on the scale. What's that got to do with my ear? My ear don't weigh that much. I just want to just ask the doctor something. All right, I got to step on the scale. I don't like it. I see those girls and I'll say, okay, you step on it. Then the pastor will step on it. See how that feels. And then when I'm taking stuff out of my pockets, I'll take out my last gospel tract. It's like as if that's going to make a difference, but I'll take it out. Sometimes we don't like what's being said. Next, sometimes we do not love the person speaking to us. Sometimes, and sometimes it happens at work. It may happen to you. Sometimes we do not respect the person who's speaking to us. Sometimes we're angry. We're angry at the person speaking to us. Sometimes that happens in a marriage, doesn't it? Somebody's upset and they've been hurt. Doesn't matter what the other one says. It's like, I can't, Gomer Pyle, hear you. Or is that Sergeant, what's his name? Anyway, forget it. You're not a good Christian if you don't watch a lot of the old TV shows. You'll never get half of the illustrations here. And sometimes we're proud, so we don't think anybody can teach us anything. So why would I listen? So how does God speak to us? And I'm just kind of talking to you tonight. First, he has to get our attention. The most common word when someone's setting up an auditorium, whether it's going to be some venue, a speech, political rally, a rock concert, someone will get behind the microphone. What do they always say? What's the word? Starts with the letter A. It starts with the letter A. Let's try this again. Tension. Did you go to public school or Christian school? Oh, blaming us, huh? Yeah, it starts with the letter A. Testing. Boy, that was classic. I was searching for the word attention. Sometimes that's what the Lord does to us, doesn't it? Why is this happening? Attention. Youth conference is about, 2 weeks away? Close to that, about 2 weeks away. The speakers who will speak, and I don't know Brother Cooper real well, but I've heard him speak, and Joe Brown, they'll be, if you go to the youth conference or watch it online, they'll be half clown, half comedian. Well, you know, this doesn't add up. Okay, one third, one fifth. Half comedian, half acrobat. You'll say, why are these youth speakers so crazy? To get the kids' attention. They're competing against video games. They're competing against, they probably don't even have MTV anymore, but just all the images and movies and videos and cell phones and games. And then someone stands up and says, open a book called the Bible. I'm going to lecture you. That's when they, That's why you'll say, boy, these youth speakers, they're nuts. They're running. They're jumping. They're hollering. They're screaming. They're a crazy story. They have to get the attention. And sometimes God does a lot of crazy things just to get our attention sometimes. So let's get to the message. We got just a few moments. We're out of time. Why are we supposed to listen to the Lord when he speaks? Because he has something for you to do. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. He says, all right, Samuel, here's what I want you to do, young man. I want you to bring this message to the priest. And believe it or not, you're taken over as the spiritual leader for the nation of Israel. So here you go. God was speaking to him because he had something for him to do. So every time God speaks, sometimes he'll comfort. Sometimes he's saying, get up and do something for me. That's what he's doing. So Samuel's theme was he listened to the Lord. How does God speak? I'll give you these and we're out of time. Number one, sometimes he speaks through nature. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. What does the heavens do? What's that mean? And for young people, I know it's, you know, very seldom are you going to say, oh, mom, oh, dad, look at the stars tonight. Kids are too busy to look at the stars. We old timers, we slow down a little bit. And pretty soon we notice the seasons. We notice the plants, the hummingbird. We saw I tore down this, pink jasmine. It was starting to die at our house. I tore it all down. Two bird nests fell out of it. No eggs. Look, I didn't kill the eggs or the parents. It was just these old nests. So I put the nest next to our door, and I put four M&Ms in it. So every time people walk up to our door, oh, what? Some birds lay M&Ms. It has an M on it, so it must be mockingbird or some M type bird. But have you ever noticed it says, in him was life? Just look outside and see all the life. They call it biology, I think, and zoology. It's the study of life. When you study life, you're studying about God. Because whether it's a little microscopic paramecium or some little botulism or some little creature or something, some little germ, God worked out all those details. Whether it's a little hummingbird, his little wings are going a zillion miles an hour, and then he lands for a second, and he made that. He made the sparrow. He made the plants. He made the seasons. He made all the little bugs, and this one to eat that one and that one, and then the food chain and all the rest of that. That's him. And if he can make a gazillion bugs and all these varieties and all these fish and all these colors, he's pretty creative. And every person looks different. That's our God that we serve. How does he speak? Creation says, I'm big. I'm bigger than your problems. I'm bigger than your challenges. I'm a big God, and I've got a big eraser. I erase sin, and I love you, and I got a plan for your life. That's what creation hollers out. He's big. He's creative. He can handle things. God says, stop worrying. I can handle it. I can handle it. Number two, how does God speak to us? Sometimes through the preaching. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by, fill in the blank, starts with the letter T. Faith cometh by, and it starts with the letter T. We're never going to let you live that down, Brother Chris. Never. He says, faith cometh by hearing. Isn't that interesting to me? I would think, if you want people to read the Bible, put this promise in there. Faith cometh by reading the Word of God. That's not what it says. Hearing. You know where you're going to hear it? Now, think of the context. In Samuel's day, or in Paul's day when that was written, faith cometh by hearing. They didn't have apps. They didn't have recordings. Now, that would apply. There was one place the Bible was publicly read or preached, the synagogue or the church. So what's that mean? We make these huge decisions when we hear the Word of God preach. That's why these kids will go to teen conference or teen camp and come back, or ladies go to ladies conference, or couples get away, and they'll say, I made a decision. How come? Something was shared from the Word of God, and God gave you faith. What is faith? You said, okay, I never thought I could do that, but God says, I'm going to try it. I'm going to do that. Amen. That's all it is. I'm going to do it. Because God said it'd help me. That's all that is. All it is. How does he speak? Nature, number two. Preaching, number three. Sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes friends. Amen. A real friend. A real friend tells you what you need to hear, not what you always want to hear. It was David. He's up in the cave of Adullam or wherever he is, running from King Saul. 3,000 enemy soldiers could not find David, but one friend could. And Jonathan comes into the wood, it says. Not plural, but just singular, wood. And it says, and Jonathan strengthened David's hands in the Lord his God. I don't think Jonathan said, look, I know your hands are weary. It wasn't the Aaron and her thing. Jonathan said some words to David. He said, you're going to be the king and I'm going to be next to you. You're going to get through this. This is not the end. Wow. God was using a friend to strengthen David, the future king. That's why it's so important. We as friends try to watch the moods of our close friends and, man, they're down or they're discouraged or they have a reason to be discouraged or they're straying or they're cold. And to have that relationship and be able to shoot straight. I was talking to a pastor, not going to tell you who, unless you give me some money after this. But is that, and please don't guess and say someone's name because it would be embarrassing to me. But his attitude was bad. Now don't just come up and say, probably Brother Johnson. Please don't do that. It's not always him. But their attitude was bad. And every time I talked to him, well, nothing ever goes right. And just bad. And finally, I just stopped. I said, look, man, this isn't like you. I know you're going through some stuff. It's not like you to say these things. Now, how can I help you? You are better than this. You're better than this. You know what that was? That was me going out on a limb to see if I've really been a friend to that person and I could say that. Sometimes someone just says something and you feel like, boy, that was God telling me that. Amen. I know it was God. Because God's not going to talk to you out loud. You're in thunder. And I said, it's not going to happen. You don't have the Urim and the Thummim, whatever that was in the Old Testament, where you reach your hands in and pull out one of the two rocks and it's glowing. So you know what you're not going to have a handwriting on the wall. You're not going to have angels or dreams and things like that. Sometimes it's nature, sometimes preaching, sometimes friends. Sometimes it's the Holy Ghost. There'll be an impression in your heart that's biblical. Philip is preaching a great revival in Samaria. And it says, and there was great joy in that city. Isn't that something? Philip preaches in a city and the people were joyful. Let me encourage you, Sunday school teachers and soul winners. Always have some life and something happy in that lesson. It can't be doom and gloom and judgment of God and tribulation every single week. Especially at the rest home. You know, I probably wouldn't preach on hell this coming Tuesday. You know, try to give them something to look forward to or something. You folks need to know, you know, something positive. And the Holy Ghost said, arise and go to Gaza, the desert. Amen. And there was some guy ready to get saved right there. That was the Holy Ghost. Quickly, sometimes God uses disaster. I wonder if God was, sometimes God doesn't plan something, but he allows something and speaks. How many of you remember where you were when 9/11 took place? Some of you weren't even born, but probably all of us adults, you remember. Someone said, turn your TV on. Turn your TV on. You need to see this. That was on what day? A Tuesday? Tuesday, right? A Tuesday. That week, I went soul winning in Cordelia. I was walking down the street. And all these teenagers, you know, they're not easy to witness to. You know, teens are hard and very intimidating. And all these teens are walking to their house or wherever. I said, hey, how you doing? They all had Bibles in their hands. said, y'all go to like a private school or something? What's going on? They said, no, they were giving them out at our public school today. That Sunday, without having a big day, our church was packed. Packed. I mean, I saw people that only come Christmas and Easter, and now they come 9/11 too. And I preached something like, God is speaking. We're in a wicked nation. Does God have our attention yet? God is speaking. Packed out. The next week, back to a normal crowd. They were afraid. Lord, I'm listening. Well, doesn't look like any more plane crashes or bombs. Okay, see y'all Easter. Tragedies ought to not just get our attention, but get us right and keep us right. Sometimes the Lord speaks through a tragedy. He's trying to get our attention. And then this morning we said, and I'll say it one last time, he speaks in the darkness. Scripture says he made the darkness his secret place. In the dark he can whisper. We have no distractions. He can tell us what we need to hear. I'll say this to some of you young people here tonight. Some of you are starting to think about decisions and future. Is it ministry? Is it secular work? Is it missions? Will I preach? Will I be a Christian businessman? What will I? How do I know? He'll tell you. Amen. But you got to be listening. Right. Got to be listening. We're the only country in the world with a mountain called Rushmore. With a couple at our church, and I'd never betray them, and they were having some marriage issues, and said, well, how's it going? Well, we're so busy. It was back when we had those cassette tape recorders. He said, I just leave her a message in the morning, and then I go to work. When I come home, she's left me a message on the recorder, and I listened to it. That was their communication. We don't have time to sit down and talk. I wonder if the Lord sometimes looks at us and says, just no time to sit down and talk. If we'll listen to him this week, when we're soul winning, I bet there'll be someone that wants to listen to us. Because now we have something to say. Are you listening? Samuel listened to God as a youth. He became a national figure. He ends up anointing the first and the second king of Israel. Wherever he spoke, people heard God's word. I want to be that kind of person, don't you? Let's listen. If you've not been listening, it's time to get back. Don't be like the crowd where Stephen preached and it said they covered their ears when he preached. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.